I have a confession to make. Yesterday, as I was replying to emails from friends, I started wishing them Happy New Year. It just seemed the right wish for yesterday. Christmas is over, right? We've been to church, we've sung glorious carols, we've opened some cool presents. Doesn't it feel a little behind the times on December 29th to say Merry Christmas? So on to New Year's. But is it? Is Christmas over? I mean, I know we celebrate the 12 days of Christmas, but is Christmas a one-day celebration, really, like your birthday or my birthday? And even if you're not a cradle Episcopalian, with our tradition's attentiveness to the holy waiting of Advent, there's probably a time in your life when you stretched it out and were saying Merry Christmas and singing carols and decorating with snowmen and reindeer from Black Friday on. Christmas was the whole season after Thanksgiving, culminating with Christmas Day. So you'd been at it a while. And by the time the day after Christmas came, and the needles were tinkling against the glass ornaments as they drifted to the ground, you were kind of over it. Well, when I went to work on the readings for today's sermon, I said to myself, didn't we just read John 1? And yes, we did. We read John 1 on Christmas morning. John's gospel of "In the beginning was the Word." Here it is again. So we're not over it, apparently. And in fact, we can't tell this story enough. And it's not just because we all love that cozy Christmas feeling. John's gospel isn't even the coziest shepherds and angels nativity story, is it? But it is the essence of our understanding of the incarnation. That because Jesus, the very embodiment of God's grace, verse 16, takes on human flesh, we are granted the chance to know the unknowable God, verse 18, and recognize ourselves as those children beloved of God. Emmanuel, God with us, is not the one-day birth event marked by December 25th, but it's the dazzling reality that the Word, the very Word from Genesis, the "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," that Word became flesh and lived among us, and lives among us every day, not just Christmas Day. And we have seen his glory every day, not just Christmas Day. Full of grace, full of truth. There are all kinds of theological musings and mutterings about why God came among us. But what rings truest, both in my own experience of God and in my experience of creation and of each other, is also in the Gospel of John. God so loved the world. The incarnation is about love, and so it is definitely not a one-day birth event. It's a whole new season of life that cannot be contained because it is ongoing and always among us. Becoming one of us, it's integral to the human experience. It's what we do. Time and again, we become part of something because we love it. I can't do my hand anymore, but on my honor, I will try to do my duty to God and my country, to help other people at all times, and to obey the Girl Scout laws. I still remember the Girl Scout promise because I loved belonging to the Girl Scouts. I loved the camping, I loved the crafts, I loved the sash with the badges. It was a great thing to belong to when I was 10 years old. And then, when I got married, my husband Jim became one of us Rosses, And I think he was as drawn to my big, raucous, close-knit family and being one of my sweet, amazing mother's beloved children as he was to me. He truly became one of us. Becoming one of a beautiful us is a human hunger. It's one of the ways that we know each other. And so God became one of us so that we could know God. The iconoclastic difference in God becoming one of us in Jesus is that the us for Jesus is all of us. There's no them. Unlike our associations, there are no subsets. No Girl Scout Troop 27, no Joe Ross branch of the family. One troop, one family. All of us together, transformed in the grace and truth of God becoming one of us in the birth of Jesus because of love. And so we keep telling this story, God's and our awe-inspiring story, and God keeps being born among us, born in every single person, every single beloved child of God. Christmas is not about the arrival of a new philosophy or a new religion, but the arrival of one of us to make us one with God. In our human way, we like to make rules about belonging, about how you become one of us. But Jesus didn't make it complicated. The Word became flesh, common flesh, in a simple manger, beside the lowliest of us, and so beside all of us. Today's gospel says what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The light of all people didn't create a them. That is the radical becoming of Jesus, the radical message of Emmanuel, God with us. It is our false creations of us and them that sits in darkness. But we read with hope those words. The darkness did not overcome it. We need those words. We need to know that the darkness does not overcome the light. Even standing under the bright star of Bethlehem at Christmas time, another child has died in an ICE detention center, a place built to separate a them from the us. We live in a world where there is always a them to oppress, where the oppressed suffer and the oppressors get away literally with murder. It feels pretty dark. But John reminds us the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. It did not overcome it with no room at the inn. It did not overcome it with Herod's soldiers out to destroy it, or with scribes and Pharisees railing against it, or even with crucifixion trying to kill it. The light could not be overcome. And even still clinging as we are to the darkness of wanting to create a false them, John reminds us that what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Our job is to shine with that light, the light of Christ beyond Christmas Day, to recognize and honor that light in every other person, every day, to remember what happens when the powers that be grow dark and afraid of losing their power, and so treat a group of people as disposable or unworthy. To truly celebrate the birth of Christ means working against the dark, against the forces that perpetuate suffering in our name. On the heels of Christmas Day, we are called to welcome not just the little stranger in the manger, but every stranger. To live like we know the life incarnated in our midst is the light for all people. Parker Palmer wrote, "In times of deep darkness, we not only need light, we need to be light for one another." That's a message we must take to heart as we find ourselves lost once again in the all too familiar darkness of America's culture of violence. There are many kinds of light. There's the light that allows people lost in the dark to find their way home. There's the light of compassion that comforts everything it touches. There's the light of truth-telling about ourselves that allows us to see what we are doing and allowing that has helped bring this darkness upon us. There's the light that shows us the way forward to a better world. There's the light of courage to walk a path no matter who says stop. No one of us can provide all the light the world needs, but every one of us can shed some kind of light. Every day we can ask ourselves, what kind of light can I provide? That's how we live into our call as Christians, sharing the light of Christ's birth. It's not easy, and it can be scary when the dark is strong, but the light shines the way. I love this poem by the Persian poet Hafiz. How did the rose ever open its heart and give to this world all of its beauty? It felt the encouragement of light against its being. Otherwise, we all remain too frightened, too. I love that phrase, the encouragement of light against its being. That's what John's gospel is telling us about. The light has come and the darkness does not overcome it. Feel it against your being. That is our faith and our hope as Christians. That is why we are not afraid to love. That is why we know there is no them, only one beloved community of us. That is why it's still Christmas today. And every day, because the Word became flesh and dwells among us. The light of Christ is shining in the darkness. We just need to boldly step up and reflect it and follow it.